given off, Emma? Well, we talked about the individual changes. We talked about the societal and cultural changes when we said the religious roots are weakened and there's a lot of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the society. On the government front, we said they're going to be oppressive and sinners and criminals. Also in the cultural things, men imitate men and women imitate women. So yeah, you were talking about more changes that are going to take place.
What do we mean by imitating men imitating the women and women imitating men? I mean, from the viewpoint of even the dressing, I mean, even from the viewpoint of adorning each other. I mean, when men are adorning themselves like women and women are adorning themselves like men, men dressing like women, women dressing like men.
I mean, and even their haircuts.
Even the haircuts, yeah. I mean, we see that, okay, there are lots of, I mean, it's in a way that you, it's hardly possible for you to distinguish between this person being a man or woman.
Yeah.
So it becomes a little difficult.
There was recently a kind of joke that was so viral on social media. And the people were in the line and they were paying for the bills or something. And the person says to the first person says that, dear lady, can you please haste a bit? Other people are also in the line. And then one turns and says, this is not a lady, it's a man.
It's a man, yeah.
And then he says to the same person, he says that, what kind of father you are?
Yeah.
Just take him for a haircut so that, you know, he's not misrecognized as woman. And he says that, shut up, I am his mother.
Yeah.
Because of the voice cast. So this is actually what we are actually seeing. So
this is one of the reasons that we are actually discussing and speaking about these issues here in this show, is that now these hadith and narrations can be understood by people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let me repeat it again. If we were supposed to talk and describe this hadith, for example, 200 years ago, 100 years ago, so it was not understood by people. I mean, what do you mean by men imitating women and women imitating men?
Mm-hmm.
Look, here in this time, when we are talking about alienation or, let's say, distance of people, of mankind from faith and religious practices,
mm-hmm.
we see that there are lots of masjids and mosques and even religious centers. They are full of Quran and, I mean, Islamic books, but they are empty from any guidance.
Yeah.
You see, I mean, huge masjids, huge mosques, I mean, beautiful ones,
mm-hmm.
well-built, but we see that, I mean, people are empty from any kind of, true Muhammadan
mm-hmm.
teachings in these masjids and in
right.
these Islamic centers. There is no news of guidance here.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of guidance is it that, I mean, people are not going to care for their religious practices, for practicing
right.
their rituals, for being, I mean, not being indifferent toward others, to assist each other, to think of each other, while we see that, okay, these relations, this, I mean, divine and beautiful relations among humans that have been ordered by Islam and recommended by Islamic teachings and Islamic leaders cannot be seen here in this society anymore.
Right.
So this is one of the signs that we see that, I mean, it's almost about to see the advent of Imam Ali. It has been described by one of the infallible Imams in this way. The Imam says that a time will come upon people when their ultimate concern will be their material possessions.
Okay.
Their highest aspiration will be to fill their stomachs, and their object of devotion will be their women.
Okay.
Again, in the continuation of this, it says that they will bow and prostrate before the gold and silver.
Yeah.
These people will remain in a state of perpetual confusion and spiritual drunkenness, adhering neither to the faith of Islam nor to the creed of Christianity. So, I mean, when we are talking about religion, we are not specifically talking about Islam. Even those who have been practicing Christianity are,
mm-hmm.
I mean, are not practicing in the right way that they were expecting. They were expected.
In this hadith,
it says that the women are looked as their qibla. I mean, mm-hmm. what does it mean when it says that the women are looked as their qibla? I mean, qibla is something that we prostrate in front of it.
Yeah.
So they leave everything for their families, for their wives, and they ignore others. This is one meaning of it. So we have to be careful.
And unfortunately, in a world where the women was objectified and has become a source of income for the materialists.
Yeah, very true.
So it could be relatable.
We see this situation to some extent that the women are looked as objects. I mean, as a material object rather than being a sacred entity. While we have received lots of news and lots of traditions that a lady should be like a flower. I mean, the ladies are not asked, for example, to perform jihad. I mean, because the kind of jihad they do is at home. I mean, the kind of jihad is to bring up a good and, let's say, righteous kid.
Yeah. And also to be obedient to the husbands is another level of jihad. Thank you so much, Dr. Levy, for being with us. Thank you so much for all those valuable insights. Thank you, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another episode, take good care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of life? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest rose?
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Good night to all of you, dear listeners of Iran Radio. You are tuned in Iran Radio broadcasting from Tehran. Glad you could join us. I'm your host for the next hour. Here are some interesting facts about Islam. Let's listen. Islam is the world's second largest religion, and it is a monotheistic faith with about 1.8 billion followers worldwide, originating in Mecca during the life of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of Allah upon him and his progeny. Islam means submission to the will of Allah, and its followers are called Muslims. Muslims believe in one God, Allah, who is the creator of all things and has no partners or equals. The Quran is the holy book of Islam, believed to be the literal word of Allah revealed to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of Allah upon him and his progeny. Muslims adhere to the five pillars of Islam: Shahada, or declaration of faith; Salah, or prayer; Zakat, or charity; Saum, or fasting during Ramadan; and Hajj, or pilgrimage to Mecca. The Islamic year is 11 days shorter than the year used in the Western world. This is because the Western year is based on the orbit of the Earth around the Sun instead of on the faces of the Moon. And we'll listen to continuation of Iran Radio. We start off this hour's programs with Iran Today. The program focuses on advancements in science and technology in the Islamic Republic of Iran and highlights the latest business and economic developments in the country. And our final program this hour is Let's Recite the Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Holy Quran at level 2. Stay with us for the next hour.
The 8-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today. Iran, a place whose story is far more complex than the headlines suggest. Over the past four decades, the country has quietly engineered one of the most dramatic transformations in public health anywhere in the world. In 1979, life expectancy in Iran was just 56 years. Today, it stands at 75, a 19-year leap. For comparison, during the same period, life expectancy in the United States rose only 3 years, and in France, 8. The numbers tell a story of rapid, determined progress, built on investment in healthcare, expanded insurance coverage, and a national push for better medical services. It's an undeniable sign of Iran's progress and capabilities in the medical field. One of the clearest indicators of a nation's health is maternal and infant mortality. Following the victory of the Islamic Revolution, as access to clinics and trained medical staff increased, Iran saw maternal deaths fall to 20 per 100,000 live births. That's less than 1% of the global rate, which stands at roughly 200 per 100,000. Specialists in obstetrics and gynecology call it one of the country's quiet medical revolutions.
Still, some critics abroad often claim that Iran is a country that is defined only by its drones and missiles. But a deeper look inside the country's scientific institutions paints a very different picture.
Mr. Mohammad Reza Kompani, CEO of a high-tech medical equipment company, outlined how Iran's medical equipment sector has expanded since the victory of the Islamic Revolution.
The medical equipment of Iran has actually been started from the revolution, after the revolution. Before that, we had only the furnitures and such things and autoclave for sterilization of the goods. But after that, about 10 years after the revolution, right after the ending the war, the medical equipment started the industry in Iran. And now, which I'm here, we have about 85% of the items are required to be used in the hospitals. I'm talking about the devices, because in medical equipment, we have two parts, the devices and the sundries and the disposables we used in the hospitals. So in the medical equipment, the devices, 85% of the hospitals are doing the equipping by the Ministry of Health are provided from the local manufacturers. It's the, as you see here, it's the operation room, the ICU, CCU, the dialysis section, the emergency, and the general hospital.
Iran's global ranking in science and research has climbed to 15th. 65 Iranian universities are now counted among the world's top institutions, 22 of them in medical sciences. Many cancers once considered fatal in Iran are now routinely treatable. 97% of the medicines Iranians use are produced inside the country. And through advanced transplants from cord blood to bone marrow, Iranian physicians now treat more than 70 diseases that once required travel abroad. In an interview with us, Iranian scientist Sepi Demirzai Varzaghani, a Mustafa Prize laureate for scientists under 40 and a leading researcher in cancer drug resistance, highlighted Iran's giant leap in advanced therapeutic technologies, particularly in the field of gene therapy.
با دانشی که داریم و اینکه در حوزه زیست پزشکی ما امروز در دنیا حرف برای گفتن داریم و
With the expertise we have today, Iran has a real voice in the global biomedical arena. We've made significant progress in advanced therapeutic technologies, especially gene therapy. If there is sustained targeted investment, Iran can definitely become a regional hub for cancer research and cancer treatment.
4 decades ago, Iran ranked 39th in global scientific output. Today, it's 18th. In medical sciences alone, Iran has climbed from 38th to 10th worldwide. The country is among the five global leaders in advanced stem cell science, second in the world in bone marrow transplantation, and among the top 10 nations in nanotechnology, biotechnology, and infertility treatments. In biotechnology, Iran is now one of only three nations producing a wide portfolio of high-tech biopharmaceuticals, including the hepatitis B vaccine, erythropoietin, multiple interferons, streptokinase, GCSF, and others. And for more than 20 years, Iran has practiced clinical cell therapy, an area where many countries remain stuck in the research stage. Stem cells are now used in corneal, cardiac, skin, and other transplants across Iranian hospitals. Ms. Mirzayi also explained how her research on drug resistance in cancer led to her receiving the Mostafa Prize. The Mostafa Prize, founded in 2012, is considered one of the most prestigious science and technology awards in the Islamic world.
Can you please tell us more about your research that resulted in you receiving the Young Scientist Mostafa Prize?
پژوهش‌هایی که من انجام دادم و در واقع منجر شد به دریافت این جایزه ارزشمند.
My research, which led to this valuable award, focuses on drug resistance in cancer. I study the role of intercellular signaling pathways that cause cancer cells to become resistant to chemotherapy. These molecular pathways inside the cell play a crucial role. After several treatment cycles, they can make the patient's body less responsive to anti-cancer drugs and reduce the sensitivity of cancer cells therapy. What we're trying to do is to identify and regulate these signaling pathways. Cancer cells can activate certain pathways that, in turn, lower their sensitivity to treatment. By mapping and modulating these pathways, we aim to reduce drug resistance and restore or even increase the responsiveness of cancer cells to anti-cancer drugs.
Education has played a major part in this transformation. Iran now has nearly 70 medical universities and faculties, staffed by 22,000 faculty members.
The country's medical system hosts about 270,000 domestic students and 7,000 international students. Researchers in these institutions have authored more than 60,000 conference papers, 81,000 journal articles, and over 258,000 papers published internationally. 25 Iranian medical universities have been included in the Leiden Ranking 2025, with Tehran, Shahid Beheshti, Tabriz, Shiraz, and Iran University of Medical Sciences ranking below 500 globally. Women's enrollment in universities has also increased, and women now make up 50% of students and faculty, an important accomplishment. Many of these graduates have achieved prominent national and international positions.
Iran's push for scientific independence shows up in its pharmaceutical sector as well. For instance, 99% of medications are produced domestically.
Iran also produces 40% of its medical equipment and requires no outside technical assistance for the development of pharmaceutical formulations, something the country demonstrated during the Iran-Iraq War, the COVID-19 pandemic, and other crises. From 35 dependency-heavy drug companies in 1979, Iran has grown to more than 200 domestic pharmaceutical manufacturers today. Mr. Kompany also described how Iran weathered the COVID-19 pandemic using medical equipment supplied by domestic knowledge-based companies.
I'm telling you that for the rest of the products and the items which we have not produced yet, many, many science-based companies, which among of the 400 are working on them, and I will promise you in about two or three next year, we will have them as well. So there is no worry about the medical equipment, as we didn't have any problem during the corona. You see, in corona, we actually expend 6,000 ICU beds for the corona patients. So this means that we had the knowledge, we had the technology, we had the units, and all of them prevent us to choose the patients from the age and etc. to take it to the ICU. So every patient which needed to go to ICU, freely they could go. Then they hadn't had any problem. So Corona was the one among the 10 to 15 countries in the world which has no problem. Iran was one of them.
Iran now ranks first in Asia in the production of recombinant medicines, drugs used to treat cancers, MS, hemophilia, and viral illnesses. Vaccination coverage for children under 5 has risen from 20% before 1979 to full nationwide coverage, even in remote villages. Iran has produced key pharmaceutical raw materials for treatments of pulmonary hypertension, coagulation disorders, and chemotherapy. It has introduced the first nanotechnology-based injectable anti-cancer drug, Sinadoxazom, among a long list of other high-tech drugs. Iran is now one of the world's top three producers of radiopharmaceuticals, about 70 varieties. These supply 230 treatment centers and 6,500 nuclear medicine units inside Iran and are exported to 15 countries, generating roughly $70 million annually. The only remaining imports are certain raw isotopes, mainly from Russia. Ms. Mirzayi also explained how combination therapies can ultimately help increase hope and survival prospects for cancer patients.
What are some of the practical and clinical applications of your research regarding the diagnosis or treatment of cancer in the near future?
اینها جزء درمان‌های در واقع درمان‌هایی که ترکیبی هستن و طراحی داروهایی که
These are part of what we call conventional anti-cancer drugs with genetic components. They can be highly effective in preventing and overcoming drug resistance, which is one of the biggest challenges in cancer treatment. We also focus on targeting personalized therapies so that one standard drug is not prescribed for all. Instead, treatment is tailored to each patient's genetic profile, because even two people with, for example, lung cancer can have very different patterns of drug resistance. Designing targeted drugs for each individual can significantly improve treatment outcomes, reduce overall costs, and most importantly, increase hope for patients living with cancer.
We have a lot more to cover today, but first let's take a moment to catch up on the latest headlines.
Hello everyone, welcome to the news section of this program. Here we'll go over some important news headlines. Tehran Times: over 1,140 Iranians among world's 1% most cited researchers. A total of 1,142 Iranian researchers have been recognized among the world's top 1% most cited researchers in 2025, compared to 1,056 identified researchers in 2024, according to the Islamic World Science Citation Institute. The Ministry of Health, Treatment and Medical Education accounts for 52.77% and the Ministry of Science, Research and Technology, with 427 researchers, represents 37.43% of the most cited Iranian researchers, ISCIIR reported. Clinical medicine with 446 entries, engineering with 209 entries, pharmacology and toxicology with 163 entries, chemistry with 140 entries, neuroscience and behavior with 115 entries, agriculture sciences with 100 entries, and social sciences with 77 entries held the highest shares of the most cited researchers. Three Iranian researchers have been among the highly cited award recipients. IRNA. Iran among top 20 countries in medical science output, ISC. Iran ranks among the top 20 countries in terms of medical science publications, indexed in the Scopus and Web of Science databases in 2023, according to figures from the Islamic World Science Citation Center. Given the importance of the health and medical fields and the advancements made by Iran in these areas, the ISC has prepared a report on the scientific and technological outputs in this sector, as well as on the most cited researchers and the global rankings of Iranian medical universities, ISC head Ahmad Fazilzadeh said on Saturday. Fazilzadeh pointed out that in comparison of different subject areas and the web of science databases, Iranian medical and health researchers have 158,678 documents in their names and the second highest scientific output from the country after engineering, technology, and natural sciences. ISNO, Iran among top three in radiopharmaceuticals expands nuclear scanners nationwide. Iran has established its position as one of the world's top three producers of radiopharmaceuticals, with statistics showing a nationwide increase in nuclear medicine imaging systems across all 31 provinces, according to reports. Radiopharmaceuticals technology, one of the major achievements of modern medicine, has driven significant advancements in diagnosing and treating complex diseases such as cancer over recent decades. Currently, Iran produces 70 types of radiopharmaceuticals, meeting the needs of more than 6,500 nuclear medicine centers nationwide. The country also exports these products to 15 countries, generating around $70 million in revenue in 2025. As part of efforts to achieve self-sufficiency, a cyclotron has been installed and commissioned at a hospital in Tehran to produce radioisotopes used in PET imaging. Meh. Iran ranks 17th in world in science production, Minister. Iran's Minister of Science, Research and Technology, Hossein Simoisarov, says that Iran is ranked 17th in the world in terms of production of the scientific articles. He made the remarks on the sidelines of the cabinet session on November 12th, where he emphasized that the country is at the 17th rank in the world in the field of science production. The minister promised that his ministry would take effective steps to promote the level of science production on the regional and international stage. And thank you for joining us in this section. Please do stay tuned for the main narrative.
Medical tourism has become another thriving industry. In 2024, nearly a million patients from 160 countries traveled to Iran for treatments ranging from infertility and cosmetic surgery to cardiac care, ophthalmology, and organ transplantation. Diako Abbasi, Secretary of the Health Tourism Council, explained how Iran has become a destination for health tourism.
Over the past two decades, Iran has become one of the leading health tourism destinations in the region and even the world. This growth stems from our scientific and technological progress in medicine, the strong expertise of Iranian doctors in diverse specialities, Iran's strategic location near countries with serious healthcare challenges, and our shared cultural background and long medical tradition. All of this has helped make Iran a distinctive and attractive destination for health tourism.
The country also maintains one of the region's largest research networks, with 849 medical research centers. These laboratories fuel Iran's growing scientific partnerships abroad and boost its presence in global health diplomacy.
We currently have around 300 hospitals licensed to provide international health services, fully capable of admitting foreign patients at a professional level. Their staff receive cross-cultural training, and they have dedicated international patient departments that operate under official authorization. In addition, there are about 700 active health tourism offices and companies that handle medical visas as well as patients' accommodation, transfers, and specialized guidance during their stay.
In ophthalmology, Iranian hospitals offer services on par with the most advanced nations. The country no longer sends patients abroad for eye care. Instead, patients from neighboring countries come to Iran for surgery due to lower costs, modern equipment, and highly trained surgeons.
Last year, our medical centers admitted foreign patients from around 140 countries, which shows just how strong and promising Iran's health tourism market is. Most international patients come from cardiology and cardiovascular surgery, orthopedics, infertility treatment, transplants, ophthalmology and ENT procedures such as cochlear implants, as well as cosmetic and general surgeries. They travel from countries like Iraq, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, the Persian Gulf states, even Saudi Arabia, as well as European countries such as the UK and Germany. We've also received patients from countries like India and even from the United States and Australia. Our data clearly show that Iran is now treating patients from across the world.
Before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, more than 11,000 Iranians were sent abroad each year for medical care. Today, the flow has reversed. The country has performed over 50,000 kidney transplants, around 7,000 heart transplants, and 225 pediatric heart transplants. Every month, roughly 80 million medical services are delivered across the country. In recent years, Iran has also joined the list of medical equipment exporters. Officials announced at the Iran Health 2025 exhibition that Iranian-made medical technology is now shipped to more than 60 countries. More than 17,000 medical technologies have been registered inside Iran, and many are already on the global market. From vital sign monitors and defibrillators to dental and laboratory equipment, as well as precision surgical tools. Mr. Kompany also elaborated on the export of Iranian medical equipment products.
As we are meeting all the standards, international standards of the medical equipment for our product, as the MOH has based on that. So we now have a very good quality devices and also the disposables in the country. So we have no problem for that, and we are exporting about to 40 countries, and we are earning a lot of money among this exporting. And also, we have our own production line in different countries, and by doing the rebranding, by the cooperation of the local agents and our companies in Iran, we have about in countries like Indonesia, Turkey, Iraq, Sweden.
About 65% of Iran's medical device industry is powered by knowledge-based companies, many of which born in universities and science parks. This pipeline of engineers and researchers has allowed Iran to develop high-tech devices such as AI-enhanced MRI machines, portable imaging units, and remote patient monitoring systems.
And there we have the Iranian ICU, which we have the ventilator, the special beds, the patient care monitoring system, and the gas supply. And as I told you during the corona, all this set was equipped from the local manufacturer, so we didn't have problem. And the price was very attractive because at the corona, many countries has to pay 10 times, 8 times of the real price of the ventilator, but here this unit was given to the MOH for 7,000 euro. But we had many offers from other companies like 50,000, 70,000, 40,000, different prices, but 6,000 of this unit was bought for only at the price of the 7,000 euro, which was very good. And now the real price in the world is about 10 to 12,000 euro.
Exports of medical equipment surpassed $500 million in 2024 and are projected to reach about $650 million by the end of 2025. West Asian and African countries are the largest buyers. The appeal: Iranian devices typically cost 30 to 40% less than their European counterparts, but offer comparable precision and reliability.
The quality is very good because they are meeting all these standards, international standards, and of course the price. For example, this operation room, the general operation room you see here, if you want to buy from a top brand company, European or American, you have to pay at least $200,000 to $300,000 US. But here you can get it for $70,000 US. So you see the different price.
And is it the same quality? So
it is.
You get the same quality, but for a lower price.
Of course. This is our advantage to entering to the market in international market. So by having the people outside to cooperate with us, we will very soon will be anywhere in the world for the manufacturing of medical equipment and rebranding it.
Years after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Iran's healthcare system continues to grow. Through decades of expansion from hospitals and clinics in major cities to health centers in the most remote villages, the promise of equitable healthcare has been largely realized. And for millions of people across the country, that promise has become a lived reality. That's all for today. Until next time, take care.
Say that love strikes only once. That precious moment I offer you. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of hope? Where is the shining moon? Where is the firmest road? You are my guiding light that walks me through the night. Your presence gives me strength, gives vision to my sight. Someday faith will increase, someday our wars will cease. Someday there'll be justice, someday there will be. Everything I possess, I offer you. I wanna be someone whom you can trust. Come save us from a world that's so unjust. Where is the rising sun? Where is the spring of hope? Where is the shining moon?
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ
القرآن جعلنا بينك وبين الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة حجابا مستورا.
القرآن نور وبيان، القرآن هدي الإيمان، القرآن مسك الختام، يا قرآن عليك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to this edition of Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and with me today in the studio, the usual brothers, Brother Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Welcome to you all, brothers, and welcome to this program, dear listeners. And inshallah, this episode, we will be beginning a new chapter of the Noble Quran, Suratul Jinn. It's a very scary topic, but it's not a scary surah. And inshallah, we will try to learn to recite this chapter with tajweed and proper recitation, inshallah. Without any further ado, I'll ask Brother Ali to please recite the first verse of this chapter, beginning with A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Brother Ali?
Yes. A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا.
أحسنتم. نفر من الجن. There is a ghunna for jinn involved over here. Okay, let's begin from the beginning of the verse. قل. قل قاف is a letter of tafkhim. قل, a rounded mouth and a heavy voice. قل أوحي إلي أن. أن because نون is شد, that we apply غن in this case. غن basically means a nasal sound plus a small stretch up to two beats or two counts. Now just keep that in mind, you have to memorize غن. We're going to be using غن a lot in almost every part of tajweed. Now there is an alif I see in my Quran text at the beginning of istama'a. Why didn't I recite the alif with the haraka, Brother Ali? Why didn't I say annahu istama'a? Rather I recited annahu istama'a.
Because this is hamzatul wasl.
Exactly. So this is Hamzatul Wasl. Usually you will find Hamzatul Wasl with a Sad on top of them, right? If they're at the beginning of your recitation, like you have done Waqf or it's the beginning of the verse, what you have to do is you have to look at the first Haraka of the word. So if it is Fatha or Kasra, we apply Kasra. Istama'a. The first Haraka is what? Fatha on Ta. Istama'a. Tama'a. Right? Istama'a. So we apply kasra for alif al-wasl if we are beginning the recitation. However, if we find that that we are continuing the recitation, we're not beginning at the alif al-wasl, we just consider as if the alif al-wasl was never there. It's non-existent. It's completely silent. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ. There is no أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ. أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ. نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. نَفَرٌ. Again, Ra is a letter of tafkhim. And also, there is نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. There was, it's tanween. Original recitation, it would have been نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. But I recited this way, which is the correct way. نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. Why is that so, Brother Ali?
نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ.
Yeah.
We have idgham.
Idgham of the tanween of the Nafarun, right, with the meme, right? The ruling of Idgham basically says that whenever we have a Noon Sakin or a Tanween, and after that we have Yarmanun letters, Ya, Ra, Meem, Lam, Wow, and Noon, any of these letters, we apply the merging of the Noon and these letters. In this case, we have Meem, right? We are merging the Noon, Nafarun, with Meem, Nafarum, right? So it becomes, it's merged. And this Idgham is with
Ghunna.
Ghunna, correct. So If we had any of the letters Ra or Lam of the Yarmanun letters, remember these are letters of Idgham, right? We do not apply Ghunna. But in this case, we have Mim, which is one of the Idgham letters, but it is not Ra and Lam. We apply Ghunna in this case. Nafarum minal jinni. Keep in mind, Ghunna again is a nasal sound and a small stretch. Minal jinni. And because Noon is Shadda over Noon Mushaddad, always has a Ghunna involved with it, right? Faqalu, not faqalu. فقالوا why تفخيم قاف is a letter of تفخيم فقالوا and there is a mad at the end of قالوا what kind of a mad is it
جائز
meaning that you can stretch the قالوا the لو of the قالوا up until 5 or you can go for 4 as well فقالوا إنا سمعنا again إنا غنا is involved because of نون شد on the نون سمعنا قرآنا عجبا. Now, we recited Qur'an and Ajaba without Ghunna. Why? Because there is no ruling that applies Ghunna in this case. It's just Idhar. It's not Qur'an and Ajaba. No. Qur'an and Ajaba. And also Qur'an, Qaf and Ra are Tafkhim. That is Qur'an. But the Hamza after the Qaf and Ra, it's Tarqiq. Qur'an and Ajaba. Ahsantum.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا.
Say, O Muhammad, it has been revealed to me that a group of the jinn listened and said, indeed, we have heard an amazing Quran.
We'll move on to the next verse, brother Hassan. Bismillah, verse number 2 of Surah Jinn.
يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ.
Hassan, to continue.
وَلَن نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا
أَحَدًا. Ahsantum, a very beautiful recitation. Yahdi, again, this is a ja'iz munfasil mad, meaning that you can go for 4 beats or up to 5 or even 6 beats, right? Yahdi ila rushdi. Rushd, a tafkhim letter. Because Ra is not always tafkhim letter, it's only whenever we have fatha or dhamma on top of Ra, we apply tafkhim on Ra. Tafkhim means a heavy sound and a rounded mouth. يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به. Now Noon, because it's Mushadda over here, it's Shadda on Noon, فآمنا. We apply Ghunna over here as well. Now there is a waqf, Salah, meaning that you can continue, but it's better that you continue, but you can also stop over here, as you did in the recitation, which is completely fine. There is no problem in that. يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به. وَلَن نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. There is also an idgham at وَلَن نُشْرِكَ. The noon at the end of لَن and the noon at the beginning of نُشْرِكَ. This idgham of مِثْلَيْن. When two noons are next to each other, remember يَرْمَلُون, we did merging, right? The last letter of يَرْمَلُون is what? Noon. So whenever we have a noon sakin or tanween, and then after that we have any يَرْمَلُون letters, and in this case we have noon, what happens? We do idgham. We merge the two letters, and we're merging the two noons, and because it's noon, we do it with ghunna. If it was lam or ra, we do not do it with ghunna. Correct? وَلَن نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا. أحسنتم.
يَهْدِي إِلَى الرُّشْدِ فَآمَنَّا بِهِ وَلَن نُشْرِكَ بِرَبِّنَا أَحَدًا.
It guides to the right course, and we have believed in it. And we will never associate with our Lord anyone.
Verse number 3 of Suratul Jinn, Brother Ma'soom, please take the honors.
وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا مَتَّخَذَ صَاحِبَةً وَلَا وَلَدًا.
أحسنتم, a very beautiful recitation. وَأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى جَدُّ رَبِّنَا, not رَبِّنَا, رَبِّنَا, تَفْخِيم, right? A rounded mouth, the ra is, should be recited with a rounded mouth and a heavy sound. وَمَتَّخَذَ, تَخَذَ, 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 تَ is تَرْقِيق, That is tarqiq. But in the middle we have kha, which is tafkhim. Mattakhadha. It's difficult, but with practice you will get the hang of it, inshallah. Sahibatan wala walada. Sahibatan wala walada. What ruling is applied over here, brother? Ma'asum?
Idgham.
Tan wala walada.
Idgham.
Ahsantum. Idgham. Idgham of noon and waw. And this is with ghunna, correct? Sahibatan wala walada.
Wa annahu ta'ala jaddu rabbina mattakhadha sahibatan wala walada.
And it teaches that exalted is the nobleness of our Lord. He has not taken a wife or a son.
In the last verse of this episode, verse number 4 of Surah Al-Jinn, chapter number 72 of the Noble Quran. Brother Hussein, please take the honor.
وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطًا.
أحسنتم. It's not يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا. There is no mad or stretching involved. يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا. Right? عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطًا. Just 2 points and then we'll conclude this episode, inshallah. عَلَى اللَّهِ. Why did I recite the Allah with تَفْخِيم? Lam is not a تَفْخِيم letter. Why is that so?
Because before the word Allah, we have Ala.
Exactly.
It has,
so this ruling of tafkhim is specific to the word Allah.
Yes.
Right? Whenever before the word Allah, we have Fatha or Dhamma, we apply tafkhim on the Lam of Allah, the middle Lam of Allah. Ala Allahi astaghfirullahi. Right? But when we have a kasra before Allah, we apply tarqiq, a flattened sound, a smiling sound. Lillahi. Correct? And then the shatata, the ta and ta, both of them are tafkhim, but not the sha, not shatata. Shatata. Now, whenever, again, I keep emphasizing because it's a very important thing to practice. It's always good to practice verses that have tafkhim and tarqiq next to each other, preferably in one word. Prepares your tongue and mouth and your entire pronunciation to properly recite the Quran. Sha ta ta. You see that? Sha is flat, but then ta and ta are rounded with a heavy voice. Sha ta ta. With practice, everything becomes perfect.
وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَقُولُ سَفِيهُنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ شَطَطَا.
And that our foolish one has been saying about Allah an excessive transgression.
Alright, let's recite the verses number 1 to 4 of this episode, Surah Al-Jinn.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Qul uhiya ilayya annahu istama'a nafarun minal jinni faqalu inna sami'na qur'anan 'ajaba.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أوحي إلي أنه استمع نفر من الجن فقالوا إنا سمعنا قرآنا عجبا.
يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا.
يهدي إلى الرشد فآمنا به ولن نشرك بربنا أحدا.
وأنه تعالى جد ربنا ما اتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا.
وأنه تعالى جد ربنا ما اتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا.
وأنه كان يقول سفيهنا على الله شططا.
وأنه كان يقول سفيهنا على الله شططا.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
And that was the end of this episode where we recited Surah Al-Jinn, chapter number 72, from verse number 1 to 4 of this chapter. We bid you farewell with wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio, broadcasting from Tehran. Glad you could join us. I'm your host for the next hour. We'll start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minber. The program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators, and they will be followed by Round the World with reporters. Reporters from around the globe tell us what is happening in their corner of the world. Listen to fascinating reports from distant land. And we round up this hour's programs with leaders' speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei. Stay with us for the next hour.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Another Palestinian baby has died due to extreme weather amid worsening humanitarian conditions and Israel's ceasefire violations in Gaza. Iran's president slams the world powers for their double standards and granting security exceptionalism to Israel that commits crimes in the region. Venezuela and Colombia have condemned as an act of piracy the U.S.'s seizure of a Venezuelan oil tanker in the Caribbean. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Ayn Bahman Ray. As Gaza is grappling with worsening humanitarian conditions, two Palestinian children have died as a result of extreme cold. An infant and a 9-year-old girl lost their lives in Gaza City. Their death comes as heavy rainfall and strong winds have been ravaging displacement camps in the Gaza Strip. Amid deteriorating humanitarian conditions, the Palestinian territory continues to witness Israel's ceasefire violations. There were fresh attacks on the Al Buraij refugee camp in central Gaza, while Israeli warplanes struck parts of Gaza City. Khan Yunis in the south saw Israeli attacks as well. Let us now listen to several Gazans speaking about their daily hardships caused by worsening humanitarian conditions.
The situation is catastrophic.
First, the ground is muddy, and the tents they gave us are unsuitable for living in at all. The rainwater leaks inside, as you see. I swear, wherever I go, there are buckets and containers placed to collect water.